I'm just going to pray. Would you like, I know you've sat, would you like to stand? I don't like, just get up. If you maybe want to just put your hands out, or if you don't, just stand there. We just say, Lord Jesus, we invite you here this morning. We thank you, Father, our wonderful Father in heaven, who has given everything to us when you gave us your wonderful Son, Jesus Christ. And we just want to say, Lord, we want to breathe you in. And Holy Spirit, we want you to help us to breathe in the fullness of just the heavens this morning as we come to look at this word, as we come to receive it in our heart, and we want it to transform us. So Holy Spirit, I just pray that this word would transform, it would do something to our hearts to radically change us. We just pray that in your precious name. Amen. Amen. So I'm going to be reading from 1 Peter 2, and I'm just going to read a couple of verses, probably 1 to 5, and then I just want to share some things with you through this scripture that I've just had a sense that God's been saying. So it starts off by, put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. As you come to him, a living stone rejected by man, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious, you yourself, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And I just had a sense this morning that God was wanting to teach us what it looks like to be a spiritual people. And it's talking about a spiritual house there, which, as you understand, is the church. But actually, the church is made up of people. The church isn't a building. It's made up of people. It's made up of us. So that spiritual house can only be spiritual if we ourselves have got an understanding what it means to be a spiritual people. And there's many people out there in the world that's talking about spirituality. I want to tell you, it's not the spirituality that I'm talking about today. This spirituality comes through the Holy Spirit, and it comes through the fullness and being led and in the power of the Holy Spirit. And I believe that God is doing something very incredible with us. And it's been a little quieter this week, but if you were here last week, you will have experienced this tangible presence of the living God. It was breathtaking. And when Dave preached about not drifting, I just want to say also to you on his behalf, thank you. Especially, there was a lot of men that came up to Dave and just grabbed hold of him and said to him, well done. I just want to say thank you for doing that, because that meant a lot to him. Because it was very hard at the very last minute to decide to do something, hear the Holy Spirit, and to decide to do something very different. And that's what he did. He preached on something that he hadn't even prepared, and the Holy Spirit came on it and he spoke to us. And we aren't to drift. And so God is speaking to us today. And as I was praying, you see, I felt that God said that he's building us up into this spiritual house. This is what he's doing for us as a church today. And but there's many houses, so there's many churches, but they're not all spiritual. And there's many houses, that means there's many churches all over the place, but they're not full of power and strength and God's glory. And there's many people within these houses who are not experiencing this transforming, changed heart that God wants. And we don't want to be that church. I just want to tell you that. We want to be the church that is experiencing transformed, changed hearts. And because even in this scripture, it starts with something that's very important. It starts because if we're going to know how to be spiritual people, we've got to know that God starts first and foremost with our hearts, and it's about our character. And so if you're somebody who's got your heart locked up, or if you're somebody who's detached, or if you're only somebody who'll give God just a part of something, you're not going to come into the fullness of experiencing all that God wants to do with you. You will not experience it, because God wants all of you. And to be a Christian and to be spiritual, he wants all of your heart, and he wants you to open your heart wide to him this morning. So if I say anything to you today, open your heart wide. Keep your ears open. Don't let the enemy lull you into a slumber this morning to make you slumber and sleep. Because we've seen that many times happen. I shall shout you if I see you falling off and dozing off. I'll shout you awake. And so I felt that it started off in this scripture. When Peter's speaking, even go home and read Peter. It's a fantastic book. But when he starts speaking in 1 Peter, he is speaking to people that have been dispersed all over the regions. And he's speaking to them about various trials that they're going through for their necessity. Because we go through trials and tribulations because God is doing something with us. He is finding out whether we are a genuine people. And where was Mark? I was talking with Mark and Jacob last Sunday. And, you know, God, Dave keeps saying this thing about he is preparing that God is preparing the bride for the bridegroom. The bride is the bride is the church, and the bridegroom is Jesus Christ. And he's calling for when Jesus returns. But in the meantime, I believe what he's preparing us and getting us ready, but he's finding out who are his. Who are the genuine? He's sorting out between the wheat and the chaff. He's sorting out between the goats and the sheep. He's doing a sorting out. And he's seeing if you are genuine of heart. And that is why there's been so much talk about the gospel and so much talk about being born again. Because truly, I want to say, you cannot be a Christian by just coming to church. You have to be born again. You can't just come through the narrow gate, through the wide gate. You've got to come through the narrow gate, which is Jesus Christ. There's only one way to the Father. It is through his Son, Jesus Christ. And there's only one way that Jesus asks for us, is through repentance and faith. And you've got to come the right way. You can't come any other way. You're not going to get in. And Dave spoke about last week about you can't walk on the broad way doing what you want to do and expect to get in by the narrow door. You can't. So if you're doing that, you need to stop. And there's always a way out. Whatever I say to you this morning, Jesus always makes a way. He's way maker, miracle worker. He always does something with our heart. He's always doing something with our hearts. And so he's doing this, and it's about, you know, it's about the genuineness of our character. So when the Bible says to us about putting things off, and I want to say to you, it says it all over Scripture. So you'll find these pieces of Scripture, and I don't know how you heed these words, but when it says off, to start off with, it says, put away malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. If you don't put things away, and if you don't put things off and confess them, let me tell you, you will not be able to absorb the goodness and the fullness of the Word of God in its transforming power. You won't be able to do them, because you'll have all these things that are still harbouring your heart, and God wants your heart to be open to him. And I was just thinking about this when I just took some time out. I was thinking of Gabriel, so I'm a grandma, and Gabriel, I think he's gone out, he's back in. But Gabriel, when he was a baby, he was absolutely ravenous, and you'll all know if your mums, what it's like when you get a newborn baby. If they want feeding, they want feeding there and then. And if Gabriel needed feeding, it was there and then. His hands would go, he'd start screaming. It was absolutely ravenous. I want to tell you this thing, and hear what I'm saying very, very carefully. There's something absolutely fundamentally wrong if you are a Christian and you do not want feeding. I'm going to say that again to you. There is something absolutely, fundamentally wrong if you do not want to be fed by God's word. Because the scripture says in John 8, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciple. So only those people that abide in God's word, stay in his word, obey his word, follow his word, read the Bible, there's nobody here who goes, well, I don't know anyone, unless you've got a problem with an eating problem, but there's nobody here that goes without food for a day. If there is one, you maybe can put your hand up and say it's me. But we need feeding every day, and it is the same spiritually. If we are to spiritually grow and to be spiritually built up, we need the word of God as substance in our hearts. And God is not calling for these perfect people, and he's not saying the only way to come to me is if you're perfect and you're doing all according to this word. He's saying all I want you to come is that you open your heart to my word, that you open your life to me, and that you listen, and when I tell you something by the power of the Spirit, you do it. He's not looking for perfection. So if you think to yourself, well, I'm not perfect, you aren't going to be this side of heaven, I want to tell you. In your justified state of what Jesus has done on the cross for you, you are totally perfect. So when you came to Jesus and he redeemed you and you gave your life to Jesus, at that moment, you were made totally perfect because you have the righteousness of Jesus placed on you. So you are totally perfect in that sense. But in our sanctified state, we are not perfect. And if there's one person in here says they are perfect, put your hand up. Because I know every day that I fall short of the glory of God. I know that I do. I know that my standard is not compared to any of you guys. It's compared to the God of heaven. He's my standard. He's a holy God. And you know what? He demands holy people. And so when Peter says in here, he says, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. So we can only do that by the guidance of the Holy Spirit. We can't do it in our own strength. I just want to tell you, I can't do that in my own strength. I just need the, because I'm weak in who I am. And I make mistakes and I get things wrong all the time. I say things that I shouldn't say. I do things that I shouldn't do. But I know that I am secure. And I know that I am loved, and I know that I am forgiven. I'm forgiven of my sins, past, present, and future. But God is calling for a tighter relationship, that when he says something to you, that you confess your sins. So why, if people say, some people might say, well, he's forgiven us all our sins, why do we need to confess? Well, you do, because he gave us the Lord's Prayer, and he told us to pray this prayer daily. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And deliver us from evil. Why does he say, do we have to say deliver us from evil? Because we fall into evil. We're very seduced into evil things. But God is calling for something more. And if we're going to keep this spiritual momentum of what God is doing, he is first and foremost saying to you, I want your heart. And I want your heart to be open to me. And so it says in Ephesians, and I think this is where a lot of people get some things wrong. So I felt that God showed me a couple of things. So I'm just going to read from Ephesians 5. And so it says here, just let me get my glasses on now. It says, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. And so it's the Holy Spirit that makes us wise. Making the best use of your time because the days are evil. Do you feel the days are evil, guys? Can you feel it? Because I can feel it. And God's saying about character, and we can see that the world is in a mess. With very ungodly character. There's ungodly character leading us in many places. But God's calling for something more. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery. drinking and alcohol, let me tell you, Jesus turned water into wine. There's nothing wrong. Jesus loved a good party. I just want to say that he loved a party. He's not saying anything about alcohol. It says, take a little wine for your good health in the Bible. But what it does say, do not get drunk with it. Do not get drunk with it. So is that not wise what God is saying? Because if we're drunk with wine, why the Bible's telling this, we come under the influence it and we don't behave like we should behave. And so there's something very important. I'd say that alcohol is the most respected addiction that is in this country at the moment. It's respected. It's respected on every TV program, but it's not what God wants. He doesn't want us to be down a bottle every night. He wants us to be influenced by the word of God and who he is. It's nothing wrong with taking a little, but then you're not to get drunk. I don't know who that's for, but that is for somebody today. But be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Addressing one another. It's so very important. If we're going to be spiritual people, we need to be talking spiritual talk. And singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. I want to ask you, is that what you do? When you meet people, do you talk spiritual? Is that something that you do? In your marriages, so if you've got a married partner with you, if you're married or you're with somebody this morning, I want to say to you, do you talk spiritual? Do you pray together? And I'm not talking about spiritual things of you're just talking about the church and what happened. I'm talking about talking spiritual things about the word of God. And when you're with your friends, do you talk spiritual things? Because when it tells you to put off these things of slander, and because we can so easily get into a very critical spirit, so you might think like I'm a total nutter, so you might walk straight out of here and say, oh, well, that talk was ridiculous. But it's not what God requires, because that isn't spiritual. We're meant to be spiritually nurturing each other. And husbands and wives, I really need to speak to you seriously. You need to pray with each other every day. You need to read the word of God with each other every day. It's so very important. You need to come together. And it's not just about those things that are those issues that you have that you need to pray about. You need to worship God together. Be spiritual people. Because there's people in this church that haven't got that blessing. There's people in this church today that they're longing that their husbands or their wives are saved. Well, you pray for them, you married couples. You look around and you pray for them. They're desperate for what you've got. And yet you're not even doing what the word of God says. Be spiritual with one another. It's so, so greatly important. And there's people not even here with spiritual, that they haven't even got a husband. There's people here that are on their own. Pray for them. Get together as people. Be spiritual. Gather this spiritual momentum. It's so vastly important. And here it says that we have to be filled with the Spirit. Filled with the Spirit. This is one of the attributes of being Christ-like. When Jesus started his ministry, it says that he was full, that he was led, and that he was in the power of the Spirit. Do you think Jesus needed to be filled? He absolutely didn't. He had the fullness of God coming down. But what he did, he demonstrated to us on earth that we needed to be filled. He just demonstrated to us that we needed to be led by the Spirit. He demonstrated to us that we need to be in the power of the Spirit or we'll be taken out. And so very, very important that we do this. And so then I felt that God showed me about how to be spiritual and how to look spiritual. He spoke to me through Hebrews and I started reading it and I felt that he gave me some keys for you today. And he said, my son, this is Hebrews 12 verse 5, my son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary with when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastises every son he receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. I want to tell you how precious that is. There is something that is wrong with people that I felt that God just showed me. And so, if God is saying through this scripture that I bring a godly discipline over your life, I bring a godly discipline over your life because I love you so much. When we say we don't want that godly discipline, we're actually saying to God that we are illegitimate. We're saying we don't want the love of God. We're stepping away from God. And I felt that God just showed me that sometimes people feel very attacked when somebody comes and gives them a word, or they feel very attacked when they read the scripture. And I felt that God was showing me it was about pride. Scripture does not attack us. People do not attack us with things. People bring words to us and those disciplines over our life that are for our good. And they help us to grow. They actually help us to grow. And so it's very, very important that we receive these. Please don't be defensive at the word of God. I've been in many meetings, and people get sick of me. I've been in many Bible studies over the years. And I have to say that I think I'm sometimes that irritant. So as they're reading the scripture and they start saying, oh, that's about this and that and the other, I always say this thing: we need to apply it to our heart. The word of God is not for somebody else. The word of God is not about somebody else. It's about us. So here it is. Scripture helps us to see God. It helps us to know God, but it helps us to see ourselves, and it helps us to face ourselves. And God's discipline helps us to face ourselves. And that's what keeps this spiritual momentum going. Because if we ignore the discipline of God, can you remember that God said, I will make you, if you keep deliberately ignoring my voice, you will become spiritually impotent. That means that you will have no strength about you, and that means you will feel far away from God. And I feel that if you just even recall the prodigal, how he went away and he wanted to taste of all the good things of the world, and he wanted his inheritance of the Father. And for a moment, he will have felt this spiritual impotence. He will have felt all his strength going out of him. And why God does that is because what happened to the prodigal son? He knew where to run back to. And sometimes God removes things for us, the Holy Spirit. I want to say Lloyd-Jones is a bit of a hero of mine. And Lloyd-Jones says this thing about the Holy Spirit. He says he withholds himself. They are Lloyd-Jones's words. The Holy Spirit does not leave us, but he withholds himself. So if you feel that separation, and you feel this morning, I don't know where I am. I get into these services and I feel like I can't actually connect. I feel disconnected somewhere. I can't feel what everybody else is doing. Well, there'll be something that God is saying in your life. Out of love and out of kindness and out of mercy to you, he'll be pointing his finger at you, and he's wanting to say, I'm pouring my love and my discipline and grace over you. Please listen. Please listen. You see, the enemy, and we have an enemy. So those people who don't really believe in the enemy, I want to tell you, you have an enemy. And he's roaring round. and he's trying to distract you out of the presence of God. He's trying to distract you from obeying the word of God. He's trying to distract you from reading the word of God. He's trying to distract you from worshipping. He's trying to distract you from listening to the Holy Spirit, because God said, this is where the power is, if you read John 14, is that the Holy Spirit will instruct you of all things. So it's the Holy Spirit, it's not man, it's the Holy Spirit that instructs you. So you'll be hearing things whilst I'm talking, and the Holy Spirit will be just pointing about things to you in your life. And he tries to seduce you, does the enemy. He tries to sing a lullaby over you and to make you go to sleep so that you're all sleepy and that you don't press in. But we are being built into this living stone, which is Jesus Christ. And we have to come to this living stone, which is Jesus Christ, because there is a construction work taking place within this church. Because we are also these living stones being built in. And there's many people going to join us, very empty this morning because a lot of people are away. But as they get joined in, we're getting joined in with Jesus Christ. That's how the Father intended it to be, because Jesus is precious. And what the enemy wants to do, he wants to seduce you away from the preciousness of Jesus Christ. Out of his presence. And so, this is what he tries to tell you, that the world is all about you. It's all about your needs, and it's all about your wants. It's all about your opinions, and it's all about your truth. Grace will tell you about that at college and as she goes to uni. That's what everybody says. Well, this is my truth. No, there's only one truth. It's the word of God. There's only one truth that is ever going to radically change you, and it's the word of God. So if you're about your opinions, and if you're about your world, and not on Jesus, do you know what you do? You dethrone Jesus. As Christians, we dethrone him and we put ourselves on the throne. And it's not good, church. And God does not want to do that, us to do that, because he wants to gather this spiritual momentum and for us to bring this acceptable sacrifice. And if you think about an acceptable sacrifice in the Old Testament days, it was perfect. And it was pure. And God is calling for something over us. And he's calling the purity of us and the genuineness of us, that we actually pour out our hearts. And we give him our hearts. And we open our hearts to him. We stop putting our walls of defences up. And we give him everything. And that is our acceptable worship to Jesus. He deserves it all. And he will not accept anything less. I sincerely mean that to you. He will not accept anything less. So if you're feeling all of a wobble somewhere, you might have to ask yourself, because the big thing is that we like to be in control. We massively like to be in control. And when the Holy Spirit comes, and that's why he says, don't be filled with wine, too much wine, because that controls you. But be filled with the Spirit, because the Spirit wants to control you. But what is happening in the world, we're not going to be controlled by anybody. That's where people's attitude are. But let me tell you, as I do know, I have had my feet in both camps. I have had my feet in the camp where I didn't give Jesus my full heart. I did not open my heart to him. And I did not give the Holy Spirit full control over my life. And I want to tell you, I was a mess. I was an absolute mess. But when I came to obey the beautiful word of God, let me tell you, joy came for me. Absolute joy. And the fullness of God came over my life. And it radically changed me. And so, because it radically changed me, I can't stop being spiritual. I can't stop singing spiritual songs over people and spiritual hymns over people. I can't stop. I can't stop doing those things because that's what God has placed in me by the power of His Spirit, and He wants to do exactly the same. And you maybe are those people today, but in your workplaces, at home, He wants you to spill forth heaven. He wants you to be heavenly people, not people of the earth, not talking trite and rubbish. Because people get so bothered about their achievements and their goals and their worldly success that they forget what it's all about. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and everything else will be added. Come to God in the right way first, and then everything else will be added. That's all I'm going to say for this morning.